Your nonprofit group needs to get the message out, and we here at KSVY 91.3 are committed to doing just that. Every Tuesday between 11 and 12 noon, Thursday afternoons between 3 and 4 o'clock, come on down to the studios at 164 West Napa Street, bring a script and some background music, and we'll help you put it together. Every Tuesday between 11 and 12 noon,
on the other side, Sonoma. Welcome. It is the Dreamweaver Show, and we are at that threshold of the awakening earth of springtime. So glad you're joining us. Want to make sure that you have our phone number if you want to call in and make any comments. 707-933-9133 will get you into our studio and into our conversation about dreams and premonitions. This is an exciting day for us. We have a special guest who will be joining us in just a little while. Her name is Marilyn Jennett.
Yeah. So Marilyn Jennett is a renowned prosperity mentor, and she's also the founder of the Feel Free to Prosper program. So her program's calling the universe speed dial.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So we are excited to have her on our show, and I have some things I'd like to say before she joins us, which is that, wow, Sonoma, is this an incredible time in our blossoming forward? Feels like everyone's getting kind of frisky out there.
Oh, yeah. You know, we've been under hibernation like little seedlings, but now it's time for us to bloom, and everything's blooming around us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is a quickening, a feeling of quickening here in the Valley of the Moon, and it's an exciting time.
Hey, Marilyn.
So we are getting a call right now, and just until we take that call, what I'd like to say to you is that a week from today is the actual gateway of spring. The spring equinox is on Thursday, March 20th, and that is the time when we cross that place of balance, equal light and equal night. Equal day and night, equal light and darkness, and it's where we can once again set intention for what is blossoming forward in our life, and what are we dreaming? What is our waking dream, and what is our night dream, and how are we calling into form, calling into manifestation these visions and the dreams that we want to have alive in our lives?
Okay, so we got Marilyn on the line. Hello, Marilyn.
I could barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Hello.
Welcome.
Marilyn?
Hello. Has someone...
Marilyn? Hello?
Interesting.
Oh.
We lost our connection. Well, she's out in the dream time, and she will return.
Okay.
Just give us a few moments.
Yeah, call back in.
And I would like to read a poem about spring, and in the interim, until we connect with Marilyn, this is a beautiful poem by a woman named Menrod Craighead.
Okay. Can we just try her one more time?
Okay.
Please.
Sure.
Marilyn, are you there?
Hello. I could hear someone very far away.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you hear us? Wait, hold on. Can you hear us
now?
Hello. Hello, Marilyn.
You're very low. I could barely hear you, but...
All right.
There you go. It's really low, and I'm on my highest volume here.
All right. So we're talking right into the microphone. So why don't you just...
I call the other number?
No, this is it. The other number is my cell phone. So this we're gonna
sit here to use it as a
So we're gonna have to work with this right now, Marilyn.
Okay.
So why don't you just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll go ahead and start talking about your dreams and premonitions.
Hey, we're on the air right now.
Yeah, we are on the air.
Okay. Just all right. Well, you know, I don't think we should take a lot of time talking about myself and my background. I think if you really want to get into some interesting situations from my past dealing with the dreams, why don't we jump right into that?
Okay, let's do that then, Marilyn.
Yeah, the listeners go to my website. They would, you know, they could find out about me.
Okay,
perfect.
Just briefly, I overturned my what I call my lack consciousness many, many years ago. And I did it by studying the great laws of the teachings of the great mental and spiritual icons that came before us, the masters of mental and spiritual science, I like to say, and created a business with no background, no resources, no support, and accomplished in business. And then 20 years later, I was encouraged to teach those laws, and that's what I do now. Now, I don't teach dreams. Dreams are not really a part of my teachings of mental and spiritual laws. And to be honest with you, I've been speaking for, 10 years now on these prosperity laws. I do a lot of speaking, and I've never spoken about in public about these situations before. So, Leslie, you were the catalyst here and encouraged me to share. And I do think that there's something here, that something very powerful that we can learn about these dream situations. So that's why I'm kind of excited about seeing what comes out today. But I'll tell you the true stories, and I'm going to be interested to see what you think about what your feedback on how you think this has meaning in our lives, not just happenstance or just having premonitions in a dream, but what does it really mean on a deeper level? So, okay?
Well, I definitely have some ideas, Marilyn. My name is Teresa Rousseau, and I am a dream weaver. So I'm really delighted that you're joining us and look forward to hearing about your dreams that have premonition as part of your destined unfolding life.
Well, it's great to meet you, Teresa, and I want to thank you both for having me here and exploring this, and what a great idea for a show.
It's
okay.
Fun.
Should we talk about, I have three, I went into the storehouse of my subconscious here, my memory, to pick out situations that I thought would be of interest to you and to the listeners. Should we talk about, everyone loves celebrity, should we have the one that has to do with a celebrity, or which is a pretty neutral in meaning, or should we talk about something that has maybe a deeper meaning, like saving your life? You go with the celebrity first.
Whatever feels alive for you, Marilyn, is great. So
okay, let's do the lighter one here.
Okay,
and going back many years, I never paid a lot of attention to my dreams. You know, we know that we forget most of our dreams when we wake up, and you know, we might remember something, but then it fades as the day goes on. We don't dwell on it. But sometimes you have a dream that just won't leave you.
Right.
And throughout the day, I kept thinking of this dream. It was so vivid. It didn't want to leave me. And the dream was, this is my dream now, that I was on the set of the Rockford Files.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Rockford Files? Did you two?
Yeah, totally.
Remember the show
with James Garner?
Yeah, wonderful. Now the thing is, I didn't really watch the Rockford Files. I had seen it, but I wasn't at that time really into much episodic television.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't a favorite show. It wasn't of any special meaning to me. But I was on the set of the Rockford Files, sitting on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's significant. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to James Garner. And I woke up, and you know, the memory was there, and I went through the day, and it kept coming back into my mind. As I said, it wouldn't leave me. It was a definite vision in my mind that I couldn't forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had an appointment in Century City, which is a high-rise community adjacent to Beverly Hills, and two days later, and I had an appointment in the building, and I went into the tower, the high-rise, and I pushed the elevator button. And it was very clear when I got to the floor that the doors opened, and it was very clear it wasn't an occupied floor. There must have been some construction or something going on, but no one was there. It was dark. The lights were not on in the lobby, but the elevator doors opened, and I said, ooh, it's a dark, it's not occupied. Now, a normal person would say, oh, wrong floor. I pressed the wrong button, and immediately press the right button, go on to their meeting. But I guess I'm not a normal person. I just, I was in a trance.
Mm-hmm.
It was like automatic. I didn't think about it. Just something just guided me off that, out of that elevator, not knowing anything was on the floor because it was dark. I could see, but there were no really overhead lights, and it was obviously no one was there. I walked off the elevator automatically, went to the right, down this long hallway of empty offices, and walked right into the set of the Rockford Files that were filming.
Mm-hmm.
In an office.
Interesting.
Right on that floor.
Mm-hmm.
Way at the end of the hallway. And I stood there seeing all of these people in this relatively small room. James Garner was behind the desk, and you think that there may be two people in the room in the scene, but there are actually 20 people in a room. All of the camera people and the lighting people, everyone's there, and they're in the middle of a take of filming, and the director motions to me with his hand. There was only one spot in that room that was empty and was on the floor in a corner, and he motioned to me to sit down. I could tell by his motions. And I sat on the floor until they finished filming or taping, whatever. And as soon as they stopped, James Garner gets up, comes over, extends his hand to me and say, hi, are you a tenant on the floor or a tenant in the building? I'm sitting on the floor, and he's putting his hand out to shake my hand.
Right.
And so I said to him, no, I'm here. I'm here for a meeting and just happened to wander in here by mistake. And he was so sweet. He was really a nice man. He said, you know, we're going to be filming up on the roof next. Why don't you come up and, you know, watch us film? And I said, oh, I'd love to, but I have to go to a meeting. But it was so automatic.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't get over the detail that was in the dream. It all came back, flooding back. This was the detail in the dream. Now, my meeting, I left and then went to my meeting, which was a couple of floors down. And why did this happen? See, that was the thing that was on my mind. The most important thing, what was the significance? Why would I dream of this being on this set, and it would happen so automatically? Now, you know, law of attraction, people, let me just add this as a little side note. The law of attraction teaches that, you know, you want something and you think about it and you get onto the frequency and vibration of your desire and you pull it to you.
Mm-hmm.
In my teachings, I actually have my own law called the law of satisfaction. I don't believe the subconscious creates for us what it believes is an existing reality. So if in order to manifest our desires, we need to have the subconscious believe that we already have what we want, that kind of works against the way most people think of law of attraction. Because law of attraction says, well, you don't have it. It's telling the mind you don't have it, and you have to bring it to
bring
you.
It in. Mm-hmm.
Well, law of attraction people would say we create according to our thoughts and our energy. I had no thoughts about the Rockford file. I am absolutely convinced that I did not create that scene.
However,
they had booked that floor long before I ever had that dream.
Well, your unconscious did. And that's the amazing.
That?
Your unconscious had already set in motion the appointment.
So you think months before, when they had booked the building, the location for the filming, you think something in my subconscious created the scene?
No, I don't think
and made
it had.
Film there?
I don't think it had to do with them as much as your unconscious tapped into this collective matrix that accessed the possibility. And there was no conscious intent on your part, although perhaps your soul recognized that this was an important confirmation, perhaps, for the work that you're involved in. It punctuates something about the mystery and that there's only so much that we can really intentionally know about what we're up to.
And I don't think that had anything to do with that, if I can say that.
Well, what do you think
it had to do with? I wasn't in that work at all. That was many years ago before. I wouldn't have even dreamed I could ever be teaching prosperity laws.
No,
I had a special event company.
Uh-huh.
No, sorry. That was even before that career.
What?
More years.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm dating myself here. It was even before I had my special event business.
Mm-hmm.
So it had nothing to do. I was a seeker at the time. I was, don't remember the details, but no, this was before I had my corporate business, and certainly before I ever taught these laws. I don't think my subconscious. Well, I think you're right in saying that I tapped into it exactly, but I don't think the meaning was so much as to the work I'm doing or to anything that was going on in my life at that time. Here's what I believe it really was.
Okay,
my opinion.
Tell us. Yeah.
I had a friend at the time, Stella. She had she owned an antique used fur shop here, very metaphysical type. And Stella used to really be into dreams. In fact, she was very upset one time when she had actually dreamt that she won, I think it was the pick six at the racetrack, but her husband refused to go that day. He wanted to watch a ball game or something on TV. And the pick six came in. So she was an adamant believer that we get messages and that we should pay attention to our dreams. And I believe that I was meant to experience that, not having to do with business or with any... Well, when you said a confirmation, yes, I do think that you're right about that. I think spirit, that presence, our guidance system, the universe, God, whatever we believe that presence to be, as we're growing, we are given signs towards that growth, signposts. And I think I was meant to experience something so vivid about a celebrity that I couldn't miss, because I knew consciously that I didn't create that. I did not make that happen. It was my destiny to see that I had experienced in my dream and to see it physically so that I would know the power of our dreams.
That's exactly what I was saying.
So that Stella was right. We need to pay more attention to our dreams. So it wasn't so much the fact that it was the Rockford Files.
No, I agree.
It was the fact that it was something that consciously I would remember so that I could see the confirmation. So, yes, you're absolutely right about that. It was confirming that we have the ability to be guided and to see perhaps what our future is bringing if we tuned in, if we tune into that higher.
Right, if we paid attention.
What was that?
I said if we only paid attention, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So yes, Teresa, you're right. It was a confirmation.
What do you think about the fact
about work,
that
it was a confirmation that there's something more here that we need to pay attention to. And you're not going to forget something like that. I mean, anything else that if it happened, you could say, well, that could have happened. You know, maybe it had something to do with something I saw, or we try to rationalize it. But how can you rationalize the details of being on a set like that, sitting on the floor? It was just so unusual.
Mm-hmm. Marilyn, what do you think about the fact that the floor was under construction when you came off the elevator? Do you have any associations to that?
Well, I think that I was meant to see, as you said, and again, you're right, it was a confirmation. Had I not automatically walked off that elevator and followed that automatic impulse, I would not have seen the confirmation of my dream. So whatever made me do it, whether you call it the subconscious, you think it's the subconscious, I believe in a guiding force. The subconscious is more takes our orders and is our conduit to universal mind. But I prefer to believe, and I do believe, there is a presence that will guide us. And how my life played out since then, has played out since then, there is no question in my mind that there is a guiding force. And when we tune into it, when we become aligned with it, it knows all the answers. It can give us so much more than we can ever, ever imagine.
Absolutely.
It has done that for me. And I think this was just a teaser from my soul to give a sense that maybe we do have a destiny. Maybe it's not all about attracting and creating, but also tuning into what is rightfully ours. I like to say, by divine right. And this was just a key, a tool to understand that there are things that we can be drawn to.
And then you were invited in actuality when you had the experience.
Mm-hmm.
You were invited in. You were welcomed. And you know, obviously the work that was being done on this program was reaching large population of folks, and that's mm-hmm. what your intention is, and that's what you do. So there was also a confirmation in that way, as I see it.
Well, you know, that wasn't on the air, you know, right? We're not talking. That wasn't on the air at the time.
No, I understand, but
But you're saying that it's somehow aligned with something that was going to happen to me in the future?
Well, your work.
Wow.
Absolutely.
It's touching a lot of people.
The premonition. That's when dreams are guiding us to understand that we can choose, in a sense, mm-hmm. to manifest what it is that's coming through in whatever way we do, from, you know, all the possibilities that exist. And what a gift that you had this dream, and then you had the actual experience. And
Think it was a gift? Do you think it was a confirmation that there are things that are designed for us, and that was an example that we can be tuned into something that is to come,
yes,
to prove that there is some kind of a guiding force there.
In having worked with dreams for my entire career and observing the process that people go through, premonition and dreams like that are very common, and they're powerful because they give us kind of a signpost or a direction that, you know, not literally, but symbolically often, this is a direction that's possible. This is, you know, you are obviously a manifester, and you brought into your life a way of working that honors that, and you were welcomed, you know, in reality, in your waking dream and in your night dream, you were guided, and it's beautiful. And you made...
Stella used to say, Marilyn, pay attention to your dream. She was so much into it. And I said, no, I really prefer the waking intuition. And I understand that you believe in the waking dream, too. And I'll have mm-hmm. another story about that. But mm-hmm. I've always been very intuitive mm-hmm. in the waking state.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really dwelled on my dreams. And it was almost as if this universal power or my soul was saying, Stella's right. Pay attention to your dreams. There's something here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a powerful resource that comes directly from ourselves. No one else is suggesting that we have dreams. It's our unconscious. I don't say it's our subconscious. I say it's our unconscious.
Unconscious.
It's even deeper than the subconscious, which is at another level of dreaming, but it's exciting.
Subconscious is at the mental level. I believe you're referring mm-hmm. to the more spiritual levels too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. The unconscious is deeply spiritual. I mean, it's the dream, it's the great dreamer. It's the, you know, part of us that knows what our destiny is in a sense, and that we can tune into and cultivate a relationship with our dreaming self that can assist in manifesting more potently our intent and our hopes and dreams and all of it. So it's exciting. It sounds like a really wonderful
experience.
It was experience.
Exciting because it was the detail was, again, I couldn't have created that.
No.
And it was something that I was going to see to confirm. Of course, Stella wanted to know why I didn't go up on the roof to watch them film. She said, how do you know something could have happened? I said, I have ethics. I had a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go to that meeting.
Yeah.
I did wonder sometimes, maybe, I don't know, what would have happened if I had forgotten the meeting or been late to the meeting, but no, at that time I had a work ethic or something that mm-hmm. made an appointment. I had to go.
Yeah. You honored it.
So that was very striking. The next story.
Yeah, tell us the next story.
I think that's significant. It's not necessarily a happy one. Is that okay? I mean,
anything is welcome.
It was a significant one, but it's not on a happy subject. But I think it would be very meaningful, and mm-hmm. I'd love to share it if that's okay.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. This was years later, and I had been invited to visit a friend in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Los Angeles, and he happened to know the owner of a brand new hotel in Houston. It was a Hilton, a family-owned Hilton hotel, gorgeous hotel. It was only 12 stories high, and he got me a room on the 12th floor,
mm-hmm.
overlooking and gorgeous pasture across the street or the highway there with horses running around. It was absolutely just beautiful. And spent some time in Houston, and we traveled. He showed me the sites. We actually traveled up to visit his daughter in Houston, and we were on the way back. I was actually, that was after about 2 weeks, I was going back to Los Angeles the next day. And he said, I want you to meet Cassie, my daughter. And we came back from Austin. She was in Austin. We came back from Austin. And 2 in the morning, and he was taking me up to the room, and we're in the elevator. The lobby was empty. It was pretty vacated at that time. And we're standing in the elevator, and I have this is what I believe you would call a waking dream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very relaxed, and I suddenly have a vision in my mind of the MGM fire, if you recall, and those people who may be listening not in the area, there was a huge fire in Las Vegas at the MGM, which changed everything. There are mm-hmm. lots of changes being made after that back then. And I flashed on the MGM fire in this huge hotel, and I started to say, now this is very, very, my memory is very specific about this, I started to say to my friend, I was going to say, is there a sprinkler system in this hotel? Because that's what the whole MGM fire was all about, is the fire laws and the sprinkler system and everything were why the people died, so everything was changed. And I stopped myself from saying that. I immediately consciously said, what a ridiculous thing to think. This is a brand new hotel. Why would I ask if there's a sprinkler system in it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see how we will not pay attention? I'm giving an example of not mm-hmm. paying attention mm-hmm. to something that is being shown to you. And so something was happening. Something was brewing in my mind, and I didn't ask the question.
That intuitive knowing that we don't honor and follow that
mm-hmm.
thread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very
exactly.
common.
Didn't ask the question. Went up to the floor, the 12th floor. And I remember we bought some ice cream. There was a Texas brand ice cream. He said, I definitely had. We did everything. We had been to the opera. We had been to the cattle shows. It was a great trip, but I never had that particular ice cream. So he said, yeah, you got to have this ice cream before you leave for L.A. And we had just opened the door to my hotel room, and the alarms go off, fire alarms.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's rushing out. We rush out. Of course, everyone was asleep. They're out mostly in their pajamas and nightclothes, and everybody's out in the hallway. And, of course, we're all standing in front of the big elevators, and you know, everyone's saying, you never get in an elevator during a fire. And guess what? The elevators were out of commission anyway. So that part, that's what happens in modern day. You know, the system will shut down. It's not safe. And the impulse is that everybody goes down. You don't go up, you go down in a fire. You want to get out. And we start going from the stairwell, and we're going down from the 12th floor, and it's getting darker and darker, and the smoke is starting to get thicker and thicker. And there's a point where we're on a floor, and it was pretty dark, and we smelled the smoke, and my heart, of course, was racing. I was holding my friend's hand, and we were kind of following. The other people were following. We were all following each other from one end of the hallway to the other, trying to find a way to get out. And there was a moment there, I'd say for maybe 10 seconds, if I don't remember exactly, that I thought, I'm going to die in this fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happened, now knowing how the laws work and how I teach about releasing is one of my lessons in my program about the power of the principle of release. And perhaps when I thought that and said that, I let go. But at that moment, I grabbed my friend's hand, and I was guided, again, just like getting off that elevator. I didn't even think about it. And all of the people, it was dark. By now, we couldn't see anything. It was dark. We could hear each other. We knew we were all together in a group, the people from that floor, but we couldn't see each other. That's how pitch black it was. And I was guided to go to the opposite end of the hallway that we were on, through the dark, and I saw a little flicker of light at the end of that hallway, and it was an elevator button that obviously wasn't out of commission. It was a freight elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And all you could see was a button, nothing else, because there are no lights. And I pushed that lit button, and the door opened in the small freight elevator. And now, my friend had said previously upstairs, everybody said, you never get into an elevator during a fire. But without even thinking, we were holding hands, he followed me into that elevator. Again, he didn't think about it. Get in the elevator, and the lights were on in the elevator, so we could now see the faces of the other people, and they were shaking their heads. No, they did not want to follow us. And we were in the elevator, closed the elevator door, got to the first floor, and the fireman pushed us out.
Wow.
And long story short, I'm going to add a little more detail here because I will never in my life understand this, and it's not necessary that I do. But it impacted me. I will never forget it. But we were pushed outside. Everyone was outside that was out of the hotel. And it was heartbreaking to see people trying to break windows up there. And it was the sixth floor. We had gotten as far as, I think, the seventh floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't go any further. It was too thick. The smoke was too thick. And that's where I saw the freight elevator. But it was on the sixth floor that someone fell asleep with a cigarette.
Mm.
And two families that were in town for a wedding died, including the children.
Gosh.
It was 10 people.
Oh, tragic.
But we were outside, and you could see people there trying to break the windows with chairs to get out. Now, here's what's so significant, the detail. My friend's friend who owned the hotel showed up. We were all out there. Everyone was out there waiting, they were trying to put out the fire. And I walked up to his friend, and I said, remember what I said when I first got in the elevator? That I said I didn't say to my
right
companion.
Mm-hmm.
I walked up to his friend and I said, don't you have a sprinkler system in this hotel? You see, that was that connection. I didn't say it to my friend, but at that point, because there was no water, no sprinkler system, and I will never, as long as I live, forget. I don't think about it all the time, but now that I'm bringing it up, I'll never forget what he said. He said, we started construction 6 months before the MGM fires, so it wasn't required.
Mm. Wow.
Heartbreaking.
Very.
Mm-hmm. A billionaire, I'm sure he was a billionaire, owns a, builds a brand new, gorgeous Hilton Hotel and doesn't put a sprinkler system in because it wasn't required.
Mm.
See, that's where the MGM situation changed everything, changed the laws. And I just couldn't, I still don't understand that, how anybody would be that careless. So I ended up staying with my friend. They wouldn't let us back in the hotel, so I had to, we had to wait. It was probably about a week before we can get back in and I can get my things, and I went back to Los Angeles. But the significance there was, again, it was that presence, knowing that when I had said, I had kind of, sometimes when we give up, you know, when I teach about release, it's sometimes we will kick and scream and try everything to get a solution to a problem. We'll do everything we can, and we don't get our answer, and then we just give up. We're exhausted, we give up, and the answer shows up
mm-hmm.
because we've released.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Years later, now I realize that's what I did. The minute I just accepted, well, I'm going to die in this fire, something took over. Just by releasing it and not, and getting rid of the fear and the panic and just kind of just releasing and letting go, we can tune in to that incredible power that knows just how to bring us our answers and guide us to safety. And by the way, the people on our floor did not die in the fire. They did have to go to the hospital probably for smoke
yeah.
inhalation, but they were safe. It was only the people on the 10th floor.
Thank goodness.
Now, the situation, you could find it on Google. Actually, I didn't look, but I found, I was thinking about last year, and I found it on Google. The story was that the alarm had gone off, and the desk clerk thought it was a malfunction and kept turning it off.
Wow.
Had he just paid attention and let it go, the fire department would have been there, and those people probably would have been safe. So it was just unfortunate situation, but I have to take it as a learning experience, and again, knowing that I can be guided. It gave me a great sense of security that if I can just trust in that higher presence, that higher power, the universal power, it can actually guide me to something this important, and just think what it can do, or things that are not life and death experiences, just what can it do in our lives.
Well, really, the challenge of learning how to cultivate a relationship with that part of oneself mm-hmm. is so essential, I think, in having access and, mm-hmm. and trusting that when we have those intuitive flashes or, you know, a sense that something's important to be followed through with, that we give ourselves permission to do that and really trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this is
exactly.
this is important because in this case it was, you know, something that was telling you there's danger.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. Ideally, when I got that vision in the elevator, I would have said, you know, to my friend, you know, something's uncomfortable here. Let's leave. I got a feeling. Let's go out for a bit, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
and left the hotel. But I didn't. Do you think... Teresa, Leslie, do you think that I had to go through that again to get confirmation?
Mm-hmm.
That power, that presence is saying, I will take care of you. Acknowledge me,
mm-hmm.
and I'll take care of you.
I think we're given many opportunities to have kind of a wake-up call from the wisdom part of us, or, you know, the higher power, whatever we want to call that part that knows exactly what we're up to. And you know, is in communication with us if we learn to listen, and that's so important.
That's it, learning to listen. That's what I think happened. I think I had to go through that.
Right.
Because I didn't, at that time, I didn't know that one day I would be so involved in these laws that I was learning, that I would be teaching them. But looking back, there were so many significant things that were giving me the foundation
mm-hmm.
to be able to become a true teacher of the laws by experiencing these things, so that I could understand how these laws work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's like it wanted to get your attention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have to honor, as you said, Teresa, we have to honor those promptings.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. We should not rationalize them away.
No.
You know, it's funny. The subconscious is the mental aspect of it. When I got back to Los Angeles, I would say it was about months, at least a few months, that every time I heard a fire alarm, every time a fire truck would go by, my heart would start pounding.
I bet.
In fact, I was in a restroom at the music center at a show, and it was somewhere in a theater. I was in the restroom, and the attendant had lit the match, you know how they do sometimes in the ladies' room?
Mm-hmm.
They lit a match, and that little bit of smoke from the match, my heart started pounding.
Mm.
Subconsciously, I was mm-hmm. sensitive. You know, I was
sensitive to
the fire, and I finally worked on myself, and you know, that went away. That sensitivity went away. The subconscious was ready to go into action the minute a fire truck would go by. And
survival.
But it was a great learning experience. I was sad that. You know, it really, what also happens in a situation like that, I'd never been in a situation where people had died like that. And there is which is irrational, but there is a little sense of guilt back then at the time. And,
yeah.
You know, it felt so bad that, you know, we were all safe and these people were not.
Mm-hmm.
But I also happened to be a great advocate for, you know, smoke-free workplace and non-smoking, and that wasn't full bloom then. I was involved later on. I'm very proud of it. Up until the time I became a teacher of these laws, the most important thing I think I ever did in my life, in my opinion, was to be a part of the smoking laws,
mm-hmm.
getting them out of the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, this whole idea of smoking and danger, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't tell people what to do. Not to smoke, but you can't endanger others. But that's unbelievable that someone would fall asleep. Actually, it was in a chair. They were sitting in a chair and fell asleep, and it lit the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always been a proponent of, you know, non-smoking rooms and things like that.
But, so they lost their life, and then other people lost theirs as well because of that. Unconscious.
It was sad, but you go on.
And the survivor guilt is very common in many situations, especially if there's trauma, that people who make it have to, you know, have mm-hmm. time to heal and work through, because it's so powerful when you've been traumatized like that.
Well, but I knew that, on the other hand, it was such a great spiritual experience for me. It was my recognition of that power, of that presence, of that higher universal presence, and my connection. Because that's ultimately what my teaching. I teach the mental aspect of my teachings that's the mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
We need to deal with the subconscious. That's our conduit to universal mind. But we need to overcome that faulty thinking that keeps us from accessing that closes our pipeline to
mm-hmm.
universal guidance, universal
mm-hmm.
mind. So that's the mental aspect. But the spiritual aspect is so important. And I always say that even though my teachings are very grounded and basic, and they're keys, they're actual tools that you do that create these changes very quickly, but the ultimate goal of my teachings is to have every student, every person that I come in touch with these laws, to become aligned with that greater power, whatever you call it, whether you call it God or universe or quantum field or formless substance, whatever your perception is
the
of that
mystery.
Power, to become aligned with that power is the greatest, in my opinion, and from my experience, my students' experience, is the greatest thing in our lives. It's more
Absolutely.
Important than anything else, than our children, than our families, than our work, than our creativity. Why? Because that's where it all comes from.
Mm-hmm.
That's the matrix. That's where every blessing in our life comes from, that connection to that power.
And
it does, as you said earlier, it does know our destiny.
And the stronger our co-creative relationship is with that divine,
mm-hmm.
great mystery, great spirit, whatever we want to name it, the more our lives, I believe, are in alignment with what our life purpose is and what our life dream is.
That's it.
You know?
That's the destiny. It's that tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
not
essential.
And not questioning.
Because we can't
that seem
know.
Irrational.
Mm-hmm.
When your heart knows. The thing is, I've made decisions this past few years in this business as a teacher of the laws with Feel Free to Prosper. I've made very big decisions that would seem totally irrational on a conscious level. I'd say, God, is this crazy? And yet, I was so tuned in. The universe, I like to say, the universe whispered in my ear that it play out that those were the amazing decisions.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what would happen at the time, but I followed my heart. So that's it.
And you ended up on a pretty big TV set. You know,
no, I ended up on a really interesting radio show talking about.
Well, we really appreciate you being with us today, Marilyn, and thank you for your sharing and the deep considerations that you are offering the world.
I hope it brings some level of awareness to people listening to it. These aren't stories I share, as I said. Normally, I've talked about them every once in a while to someone, but it's I hope that in my getting meaning from them, that somehow others will feel that it'll give them a little hope that, yes, that we are not alone in this world. We really are not alone.
Not at all.
We are connected to an incredible, the greatest force in the universe, if we can just learn to relax into that and become aligned and allow ourselves to align with it.
That ethereal web. We have the internet, have the ethereal web that interconnects all of us, and it's beautiful to see it unfolding in our lives.
Thank you for letting me share it.
Yes. So we're going to have to go ahead and take a break, Marilyn. But before we go, why don't you tell our listening audience how we can find you?
You can find me at, it's pretty easy, feelfreetoprosper.com. FEELFREETO, prosper. Feelfreetoprosper.com. A lot of information on the website, a lot of free information and teleclasses and articles and radio shows you can listen to. It's a lot of teachings. I believe I'm pretty generous in what I share there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Marilyn.
Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
And goodbye.
Greetings. I'm your host, Bonnie Vaughn of Jazzin. We're moving to Sundays, bringing you dinner jazz every Sunday night from 7 to 8 p.m. So join me as I spin some very entertaining jazz music and keep you current on all the jazzy happenings. Jazzin' Sonoma on Sunday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. It's just right for dinner jazz.
Hi, my name is Alecha. Ever since fourth grade, my friend Elsa has been my mentor. She helps me with some of my schoolwork, and she helps me with some of the rough times of just growing up. Most of all, we have lots of fun. There are a lot of kids on the waiting list for a mentor because there just aren't enough mentors for all the kids on the list. No experience is necessary, and the pay is making a new friend.
Become a mentor. For more information, call the Sonoma Valley Mentoring Alliance at 996-6843.
KSVY Sonoma.
And welcome back to the Dreamweavers. And I wanted to let you people know out there, our listeners, that there is an aches and pains clinic that's being offered at the Sonoma Valley Hospital. And if you have developed any aches or pains, it's not uncommon as we age. And, you know, there's this wonderful clinic that is out there for you. If you want to participate, there's no cost. And it is being offered on March 25th from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And again on March 26th from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. So if you are wanting to know more about these offerings through the physical therapy department at Sonoma Valley Hospital, you can call 707-935-5345 and reserve a place at the lecture. So take advantage of that. It'd be great for you to be able to be part of a way to address all those discomforts that are not uncommon in our physical form. And I also wanted to read a poem, a beautiful poem by a woman named Mainrod Craighead.
And this is about, it's called I Am Spring Out of Winter's Death. I am the first door, I in the flower, orifice, entry, or escape. I lie deepest in the oldest seas. I lift highest in the everlasting hills. In the night silence, half of all enduring time. Out of the bowels of sound, I hear all the weeping, uneven sounds from my own uterine world. The natal hum, soft as ears and eyelids, pollen, and the passing of bats. All sound rolls over me. I am open in endless giving. I am gorged with all gathering. I will never be emptied of either. All choice lies at my breast. I am release and restraint, grace and struggle, healing and corruption, sweetness and bitterness. Each seed moves inward to my power, into the whole in every hour, wet with intimacy. I measure scattered seed and rotting dead, embryo and fossil. I mount the wheel, abiding resurrection, and rise with the turning of the year. I am spring out of winter's death. And this woman who wrote this poem is also a remarkable visionary artist, and I have been following her for many years. She was at one point in her life a Catholic nun and left that way of life and became this artist, poet, someone who deeply loves Mother Earth and really honors the turning of the cycle. So I'm always delighted to be able to talk about her work at a time when we're moving into a new season. And it is an awakening here in the Valley of the Moon.
It is.
What's your favorite blossom that's coming forth, Leslie?
Well, what I'm noticing mostly right now is these white trees. I don't know.
They look like popcorn and smell kind
right,
of unusual.
Right, like right across the street from us. But they are going off
yes.
right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm just really noticing them. I typically, so funny because I am a color person. I'm actually a colorist. So I like everything to have color typically. You know, so when I think of a flower, I usually like it to be pink or, you know, purple or orange, you know, something that has some vibrancy. But right now I feel this is really what I'm seeing. And it's just beautiful in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's so great. I'm just astounded at the color and the life force that's coming forward. And I really encourage our dreamers out there to pay attention to your dreams and see how spring is inspiring some of the images that are coming forward. It's such a deep time of fire. And a week from today, we actually cross that threshold and we are into spring officially. And Aries, those fiery people in our lives.
Fiery people.
Yes, and that potency of initiation. So that's really coming forward in this last week of winter. Believe it or not, we're still in winter. But here in Sonoma, it feels very much like spring is sprung. And we have marched on to the next cycle in our lives and in time. And I wanted to also read a quote on healing in dreams that is beautiful. When we heal ourselves, others are healed. When we nurture our dreams, we give birth to the dreams of humankind. When we walk as loving aspects of the Earth Mother, we become the fertile, life-giving mothers of the creative force. When we honor our bodies, our health, and our emotional needs, we make space for our dreams to come into being. When we speak the truth from our healed hearts, we allow life abundant to continue on our mother planet. So that's really my prayer and my intention for all of us, that we heal ourselves and one another through our open hearts and through loving one another, being generous and kind and open to receiving guidance from our deep, deep recesses of those ancient, ancient stories from our ancestors who also speak to us in our dreams, from our visions and our waking dreams, and that we are able to weave together this beautiful connection between things. All things are related and interconnected. And the web of life is amazing in how it holds and supports us. I often talk about Grandmother Spider weaving the web of destiny. that is informing our lives. And so many indigenous and native peoples know about this great web that only in recent times has the internet and the other web that so many of us are connected to.
The web is how is our connection to one another.
Mm, isn't it beautiful how it has really become another frame and form? And what did you say? I'm sorry.
Just how you're saying the web and the connection. So, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the dream of a web, or even, I don't know, the spider, does it have, is it that same connection?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the universe, how we're interconnected, and like, obviously, the World Wide Web.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But the, it's an ethereal, energetic connection. And some creation stories from Native people are about this great creatrix, Grandmother Spider, mm-hmm. who weaves the web of our destiny and interweaves all of our lives together. So there are no mistakes. Everything is synchronistically connected. And
so everything unfolds the way it's supposed to be, is it?
And I think in conjunction with our willingness to co-create mm-hmm. with the divine, you mm-hmm. know, with that great creative force of the universe that we were talking about with Marilyn. We could call it the divine. We could call it the higher self. We could call it the great mystery, the great spirit. But it is absolutely available for us to interact with, and wants to interact with us, I believe, and shows up in our dreams, both waking and our night dreams.
So would you say the waking dream is like your intuition?
I think our intuition is very connected, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, our intuitive. And it's things that happen that you notice. There's a different quality sometimes in encounters with certain people. There's a feeling of a numinosity, a quickening, a sense that there is a reason why this person just showed up in my life, or perhaps synchronistic events happen,
yes.
chance connections that indicate, and our wake-up calls for us, truly. Mm-hmm. You know, we're saying, wake up, pay attention, smell the flowers, be present, be present in this moment.
You absolutely know? So speaking of smelling the flowers, we're going to have to sign off right now.
Okay. Well, this was a wonderful show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And please do tune in on the second Thursday.
Thank you.
Of the month at 3:00. We got confused this month. Was it Wednesday or Thursday? Because the Dreamweaver show and Health Matters
yes.
has always been on Wednesdays at 1:00. But now it has moved to a new time, which
right.
is Thursdays at 3:00. And do join us next month in April for another exciting journey into the dream time.
Okay, that sounds great.
Life is but a dream.
At AOL.com. We always love to hear from you. Please tune in again next week at the same time on these issues of genuine importance. And those are health matters. Stay tuned for great programming on KSVY.